The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we want to take just a few moments to remind our hearts once again of the amazing truths surrounding this event, an event that the world looks upon with scorn and shame, and yet as believers we look upon as the basis for our hope and our life and our salvation. And the question we want to ask this morning and answer is, how should we respond to Christmas? What's a proper response? What is a proper and fitting response as believers to this amazing event that we call Christmas? You can tell a lot about how someone responds to something. You can tell a lot about what they're thinking, about how they respond. I remember our first Christmas 14 years ago. Julie and I, we were just a few months married, and we were living in Spokane in an apartment. And Julie loves Christmas. It's probably her favorite time of year. She loves buying gifts and keeping secrets. And so I remember this particular year, I was trying to figure out, what did she get me? And so I went through this list. I was trying to just get it out of her. And so, honey, Did you get me some books? She says, I'm not telling. Okay, maybe some clothes. I need some clothes. Did you get me some clothes? She says, I'm not telling. What about a watch? I really needed a watch. Maybe you got me a watch. Did you get me a watch? I'm not telling. Everything I asked her, she just kept saying, I'm not telling. And then I asked her, did you get me a shop vacuum? And she said, she stopped and she looked in my eyes and she said, no. Note to self, never try and figure out what you're getting for Christmas. I knew right away I had guessed it. No shop vac for Christmas that year. You can tell a lot about how a person responds. You can tell a lot about how they respond to a question or a situation. And the question we need to ask for us this morning is, how do we respond to Christmas? What's an appropriate response to us as believers who have been changed by Jesus Christ and who have experienced the amazing gift of salvation through His Son, through God's Son? What's a proper response? And that's an appropriate question to ask, because many people respond many different ways to Christmas. If you ask that question, how should we respond to Christmas? Many might say this. They would say that's the sound of familiar carols that is the true spirit of Christmas. Those songs that we sing and we hear on the radio all year round, that's, for that person, the true spirit of Christmas. For others, it is a tree with twinkling lights and the adventure of going and getting a tree and bringing it home and decorating it. For others, the true spirit of Christmas is the sending of Christmas cards. 5 billion in this country alone sent every year to express Christmas greetings. Others, the true Christmas spirit is found in making and sharing cookies and chocolate and goodies with neighbors and friends. And for others, it's family gatherings. And for many, it's the watching of Christmas movies that bring up memories of the past. For many, it's the giving of gifts. Billions and billions of dollars spent every year on the giving of gifts, from the smallest gift to the greatest gift. For one little boy, he suggested that the true Christmas spirit is really contentment, because that's what you need to be when you don't get what you want. Others think that Christmas, the true spirit of Christmas, is just a good feeling you have this time of year. And for others, Christmas time brings a feeling of great sadness as they consider and reflect on memories past and the sorrows that they are currently experiencing. How do you respond to Christmas? What's a proper response? What is a biblical response? What is the way we should respond as believers to the event that has transformed history? It's easy for us to fall prey, isn't it, to the ways that our culture responds to Christmas? We can so easily get caught up in the gifts and the commercial side of Christmas. And I confess to you that that has been my heart. I've struggled even this week as I was considering this morning and this Sunday and coming together as the body of Maranatha, just even seeing in my own heart a tendency to get caught up in the commercial side of this and thinking about family get-togethers and parties and wanting to make Christmas special for our kids. And those are all good things. But I found in my heart lacking the true passion for Christ, the true knowledge of Christ, and coming to Christmas with a heart of reverence and worship and awe and love and wonder of praise. as should be our response. What's your response to Christmas? I would venture to guess that many of you here this morning maybe find yourself in the same boat as myself this past week, scrambling for last-minute gifts and baking and cooking and sending cards and cleaning your house for family get-togethers, and you haven't considered Christmas is about Christ. And you know that truth, and that's a truth that you know very well, but this past week or this past few weeks, you haven't thought on that and meditated on that and let that penetrate your heart as you consider that Christ is the focus of Christmas. And so somewhere in all of the hustle and the bustle and the chaos lies what this season is truly about. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to ask you to clear the clutter. I want you to put aside all the things that you have to do today after church, and you're going to rush home and you're going to bake and you're going to clean and you're going to get all those last minute things together. I want you to put those all aside right now and consider what the scriptures teach us about Christmas. Is it just about fun? Is it just about fellowship? Is it just about giving? Those are all wonderful things, but let's look at what the Word of God says is a proper response to Christmas. I want to take you back to the very first Christmas, and I want to show you the reaction of those who were there, who experienced the very first Christmas, and I want you to see how they responded, how they reacted to the birth of Christ. And as we do that, I want you to ask yourself, am I responding this way? Is this my response as well to the birth of Christ? So I want to look at just a brief survey of all those who reacted to the birth of Christ. Let's start with a response of Elizabeth. Go in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Let's look at how Elizabeth responded when she heard that Mary was with child and would give birth to a son. Luke 1, verse 39. Now at this time Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judea. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." Upon hearing the news of Mary being pregnant with the Messiah, Elizabeth responds with joy and gratitude. And three times she says, "Blessed, blessed are you, Mary. Blessed is God for sending the Son through Mary." Look at verse 42. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth knew the true spirit of Christmas. She understood the right response, and she responded by blessing the Lord for this amazing gift. What about her husband? How did he respond? Go over to chapter 1, verse 67. How did Zacharias respond to these events surrounding the birth of Christ? Luke 1, verse 67. And his father, the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant." He responded the same way his wife. "Blessed are you, God. To you, God, be praise and glory and adoration. For you have visited us and accomplished redemption for your people and raised up a horn of salvation for us. Blessed be you, God." These words of Zacharias are known as the Benedictus. From the first word in verse 68, blessed. Zacharias speaks a blessing to God because of this amazing gift. And he worships and glorifies and praises God because he has provided salvation. And if you remember the story, he had been mute for 9 months. Couldn't say a word. and God looses his lips, and the very first words out of his mouth are, "Blessed be God for his gift." Look at verse 64. As soon as God loosed his mouth, at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise to God. He understood the true spirit of Christmas. He understood how his heart was overcome with wonder, love, and praise towards the Lord because of his gracious gift of the Messiah. How about the angels? Go over to Luke chapter 2. How did the angels respond to this? Luke chapter 2, look in verse 8. Look what it says. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host doing what? Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Imagine the scene. A multitude, countless angels filling the sky, declaring all in unison praise and glory and adoration to God because of what was taking place. What makes this even more amazing is angels can't be saved. You know that, right? No angel has ever been saved. No angel has ever been redeemed. No angel has never ever been saved from sin. No angel has moved from fallen angel to glorified angel. No angel has experienced salvation. And yet they look upon this with wonder, and it makes their praise all that more significant. How about the shepherds? How do they respond? Look down in verse 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. "It came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back sad." Right? Thank you. Amen. They went back glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as had been told them. Are you seeing a pattern here? Are you seeing the pattern develop through the scriptures here on the proper response to Christmas? It's worship. It's praise. It's adoration. It's exaltation. The singular focus of those involved in the first Christmas was one word. Worship, praise, adoration. And that should be our focus as well. Caught up in wonder, love, and praise because of the amazing gift of God to us. What about Simeon? Go down to chapter 2, verse 25. You remember Simeon? This is the only place he's mentioned in Scripture. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms, and he blessed God. And he said, 'Now, Lord, let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" What did he do? Verse 28, he blessed God. He was sitting in the temple and had been revealed to him through the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And so week after week and month after month and year after year, he's waiting. When is the Messiah going to come? And suddenly, this particular day in the temple, he sees Mary and Joseph walk into the temple holding an 8-day-old child, the Messiah. And he blessed God. What about Anna? Look down at verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here's a woman, 84 years old, a widow, sitting in the temple. And suddenly she too sees the Messiah as a baby. And it says she began to give thanks. She saw the one who would grow to be a man, who would die on a cross and redeem Jerusalem and redeem Israel and redeem us. Are you seeing a pattern? The pattern is worship. The pattern is blessing. The pattern is adoration. The pattern is exaltation. The pattern is wonder, love, and praise directed towards God for his amazing gift. What about the Magi? Over in Matthew chapter 2, let me just read it for you. The Magi, 2 years later, says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi, wise men from the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." What did they do? They worshiped. They worshiped this child, this 2-year-old child who they knew to be the Messiah, and they bowed down and they fell to the ground, prostrate, and they worshiped. What about Herod? What about King Herod? How did he respond? Wicked, evil, ungodly King Herod even knew how he was supposed to respond. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me that I may come and worship him.'" He had no intentions of worshiping Christ, but he knew the proper response. He knew the right response. And so all throughout the pages of Scripture, all throughout this whole account of the coming of Christ and those who were there when they witnessed it and saw it, their response was one unified response: praise, worship, glory, adoration, exaltation to God and Christ. One more. Mary. Look in Luke chapter 1. Let's go back. Luke chapter 1. What about the one who knew him best? Many have elevated Mary to a higher level than she should be elevated. They have elevated her to a place where they say she never sinned, where she herself should be worshipped. That's not what this teaches. But her response was the right response. Look in verse 46. After it has been revealed to her, look back in verse 30. First, verse 30, it says, "The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be? I'm a virgin.' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God.'" How'd she respond? What was her response to this amazing news that she would be the mother of the Messiah? Look at verse 46. "And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has had regard for the humble state of His bondslave." And she goes on and she declares the greatness of God and the glory of God and the wonder of God in giving the Son, whom she knew would be the one to redeem Israel and redeem the world from sin. She bursts forth in the only appropriate response, which is worship. And my friends, this is the way we should respond. This is the right response to Christmas. It's not just gifts and holidays and treats and games and people and family and friends and parties, and that's all wonderful. But when we clear it all away, it comes down to worship. Heart filled with wonder, love, and praise. A total abandonment of self. A total losing of our self-focus to the point where we are so consumed with Christ and our minds are so fixed on God and so grateful and so thankful and so overwhelmed that we lose ourselves in worship and praise to our Savior. Worship is not something, we've said this before, worship is not something you just do on Sundays. Worship is not just music or songs. Worship is not just emotional feelings. Worship is not some mystical event or pursuit. Worship, listen, worship is the heartfelt praise towards God in response to His truth. And when you see and hear and know of Christ, the only proper response is worship. Just briefly, I want you to notice three components of Mary's worship. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." You want to respond properly at Christmas? You want to have a proper response this season? The first mark of true worship is it comes from the heart. Mary says, "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." True worship stems from the heart. It's a heart response to biblical truth. Secondly, it's directed towards the Lord. Look what she says. "My soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Her praise is directed towards God. Her object of her praise is God Himself, her Savior, our Savior. And the third mark is it springs from thankfulness. Look at verse 47. "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." It springs from joy. It springs from thankfulness. It springs from gratitude, from a heart that is filled with joy and affection and love and thankfulness to God for visiting us in our sin. So I ask you, how's your worship? How's your worship this Christmas? Is it from your heart? Is it directed towards the Lord? Is it springing from a heart of thankfulness? How's your worship? You say, what if my heart's not there? What if that's not my heart right now? What if I am one of those people who's kind of caught up in all this and my heart hasn't really responded to this amazing truth? What do I do? Let me remind you, and you know this, but why Christ came. He came to redeem sinners. And my friends, that's you. And that's me. Luke 19:10 says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Friends, you were lost. You were dead in sin. You had no hope. You were destined for hell. You were living in God's judgment every day of your life. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says you were dead. You weren't alive physically. You had no spiritual life in you. Before Christ, before you submitted your life to Christ, you were spiritually dead. Your sin rendered you dead. Colossians 1:21, you were alienated, hostile in mind, and engaged in evil deeds. You weren't a good person. I was not a good person. You were alienated, hostile in mind, and engaged in evil deeds. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world had blinded your mind. You couldn't see. You understood no biblical truth until God did a work in your heart. You were blind. Ephesians 4:18 says you were darkened in your understanding, excluded from life of God because of the ignorance that is in your heart and the hardness of your heart. Your mind was dark, understanding nothing of biblical truth. And Romans 1 goes on to say, you and I suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. We did not honor God. We became fools. We were futile in our speculations. Our foolish heart was darkened. We exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for that which is corruptible. We exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we did not acknowledge God any longer. That was us. That was you, friend. That was me. Well, there was nothing good in us to turn God's heart, but there was everything in us to turn God's stomach. None of us were righteous. None of us are worthy. None of us deserved or merited God's favor in giving us His Son. That was our state. That was our condition. We were dead, hopeless, without any life in us. We had no hope. We were under God's wrath. We were condemned, judged, damned to hell. And then God sent His Son. God came and visited us. God gave Himself so that we could be saved. Friends, do you realize where you've come from if you know Christ? Do you realize what has taken place, the transaction that has occurred on the cross? And you can say, Christmas isn't that big a deal. How? If you know Christ, how could you ever say that? Friend, if you know Christ, your sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. You now have hope. Your sin is forgiven. You stand no longer under condemnation, but headed for righteousness and holiness in heaven for all eternity. And friend, if you don't worship much, it's because you don't realize you've been forgiven much. Oh, rejoice, brothers and sisters. Rejoice in the incredible act of Christ becoming a man, so that God's wrath could be satisfied. Romans 8:1 is true. There is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ. And if you know Christ, friends, that verse is true of you. When you wake up every single morning, there's no justice. There's no judgment over you. There's no wrath pouring out on you anymore. The sin has been removed because of Christ. That little baby given to us, who grew to be a man and who willingly went to the cross to remove our sins. Martin Luther tells the story. There was a no good lout sitting in the congregation, and he heard again and again, God became a man for you. He heard the sermon, the singing, the recitation of the creed, and he remained unmoved. And an angel came to him and struck him with such a blow so as to render the man almost senseless. And he said, you ungrateful wretch, here you hear that God became a man for you, and you sit here like a stick or a stone. If I had heard that God had become an angel for me, I would have fallen down and wept for gratitude. But there you sit, senseless and dull, while the whole universe marvels at Christ. How often don't we just sit there, senseless and dull, because we don't realize what we've been saved from? When you realize it, though, there's only one response. It's worship. And the angels responded with worship. And Elizabeth responded with worship. And Zechariah responded with worship. And the shepherds responded with worship. And the Magi responded with worship. And Mary herself responded with worship because they understood what was at stake. A world caught in sin, needing to have that sin removed and seeing the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. How's your worship this morning? How's your adoration and your praise? This is the right response. This is the way you and I are to respond to the birth of Christ.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.